Hi, everybody. Welcome to Green Shoots. I'm Ryan Ballantyne. It's great to have you with us. Allie Putnam is our guest. She is the founder of A Putnam, and she's founded a women's golf clothing brand. And we wanted to have her on to talk about this space. So, Allie, thanks for being with us. First, I want to
Absolutely.
hear the backstory. I've done some reading on it, but I want to hear the backstory about how you got into this and why you got into this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. And thank you so much, Ryan, for having me. Always fun to talk about it, what's going on. So, real quick backstory, I'm a very casual golfer, grew up golfing, mainly because my dad said I needed to, as one day I'd have a business career and golf would play a really important role in it. So my whole relationship with golf has been very career focused, professional networking, things like that. Now it's become a little bit more fun as I play with my boys. But when I was golfing in a professional setting, I was always so disappointed with the garments and the options from a golf perspective that I never felt like I was in the right clothes when I was golfing with CEOs and partners. And so, and my personal style has always been a little bit more timeless and sophisticated, and it just felt like that's exactly what was missing from my golf wardrobe. So, geez, I kind of threw this out idea out there and dream. And my dad, who's a serial entrepreneur, was like, well, figure out how to start a clothing line. So while I was working full time for an industrial manufacturing company, I was taking classes on how to start a clothing line. And I kind of raced to that finish line just because I felt like there was nothing there and I wanted to be the first to really capture that niche. And it is certainly a niche, I will tell you that. But that's kind of where it all started. And that was in 2023 when I launched at the PGA show.
So what was the time frame from conception to first line out and then PGA show? Because I assume
Oh,
that probably came up beforehand.
literally, it was like October of 2021 when I was like, had this epiphany that I was going to start working on it. And when I kind of pulled all these ideas together and started working with a manufacturing company, that timeline was probably March of 2022, and I launched January 23. So it
Okay.
went super quick.
Yeah. And how long were you sitting on? Did you sit on the idea for very long? I mean, I know you said you kind of raced to it, but
No,
how long did you
not.
wrestle with, all right, am I going to do this or not?
I think in that entire time of taking this class, it was like a 6 month class
Okay.
between October to kind of that March timeframe. I was building it up, and I think going through that process of being like, here's how you start a clothing line from scratch on a dime. Like, here's some options, and all the kind of education around it. In that time span, I was like, it was just one day after next that I felt like it was validated to me. So, I would say like a 6 month period of really being able to figure out how I was going to do it and if it was going to take off, which is always, kind of a crapshoot.
Yes, but a good crapshoot.
Yeah.
But so you've got you take the class, you kind of get the I mean, what's the content of the class? Is it more
So
business
cool.
and logistics related? I mean, I assume there's
It's
not like a
at
drawing component of, all right, here's what you're passionate about.
yeah. So not at all. It was and it was a network of other entrepreneurs that were in the same mindset. So it was a lot of idea sharing too. And everybody was in like a different position of their business. Some had started it and they were like going back to the drawing board. But every week you were kind of given a new component of almost like building a business plan around it. But there was a financial aspect of planning, budgeting, sourcing help. Even down to like creating tech packs, how do you do it yourself versus outsourcing it? And to marketing, to like every component, it was like just a well bundled kind of toolkit that they gave you.
That's really interesting. I mean, I'm gonna have to
Yeah.
get the information. I don't want to
I know,
necessarily
I
do
know. And
free
it's,
marketing, but I'm kind of
yeah,
interested in.
I know. I launched my conscious line. She's wonderful and she has a massive background and she's really sustainable focused, but
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily like hyper focused on sustainability. I always say I'm a conscious brand and that's my version of sustainability. But anyways, oh, totally happy to give you the lowdown.
Yeah, that would be
Yeah, it's
fascinating.
cool.
But so, what did you learn from that that maybe influenced how you wanted to start your business or the timeline from it, or did it just kind of augment what you already had made your mind up
Well,
about?
it's funny. So I think the biggest realization through that class is I knew I could do it on my own, and she gives you the toolkit to do that. But I think where I hit this wall of, realizing that I didn't want to do it on my own because it would take so long. Like, it was like, how do we speed this up? And then that point is when I decided to get a little bit of support, almost like a contract manufacturer to help me go and source fabrics, help find that production company and manage that a little bit for me. So it was at that point through that class, it really was like, all right, I could do this on my own, but it'll take another 6 months to launch. And when I had this real hard goal to launch at the PGA show, I was like, yeah, I gotta figure out how to do this faster. And I think any entrepreneur and business person will say that sometimes faster means more expensive. And it's certainly the case, but I think it did for me, it felt like the right time and really paid off.
When you were getting ready to launch, get your product out there, how did you kind of validate what you had created with? Was it with testers? Was it with friends and family? How did you have people kind of see, feel, touch, experience that initial line?
It was like a little bit of friends and family for sure leading up to it. And then I honestly, like, I went all out for the PGA show, and I think it was one of those moments of, we're either going to see that we get some traffic or it's going to be crickets and it's going to be a lot of work to get attention. And I think because I took the approach of showing up like we had been there before, so I paid a little of it extra for that booth that stood out. And in that moment, like, I did little things like the PGA show has a one-to-one you can pay for, and it's like a day where you get dedicated 10 appointments. And I always recommend it to new brands because it allowed me to sit down with some of the best clubs in the US. And I always felt like that first day, I walked away with a lot of good relationships, orders. Like, it was like, all right, they're seeing kind of what I really envisioned. And it continues to be that way, where I love when people say, like, you're really different than what we typically buy, or, so it's fun to be that different. I don't think it's not always an easy conversation, because some are just like, I can't step out of this box of mine. But for the most part, I think it was very attractive to our customers. And from there, it was just like, all right, let's keep going.
How did you make decisions around whether you wanted to be more DTC, the direct to consumer? Sorry, that is jargon for people who are listening and don't know what I'm saying. Direct to
All those
consumer
acronyms.
versus green grass. And how did you kind of decide upon that mix? And did that PGA show experience kind of influence that thinking?
It did. And my personal experience with golf and my designs was that I've had belonged to a private country club growing up with my parents. And I always had in the back of my mind, my understanding of golf wear is that there's a traditional approach to it, and there are rules around what you can wear to the course and what you can't. And I actually love that about golf. And I think it's really cool because there's such a shift in trend right now, making golf more accessible. And I think what's really cool about that is that it has broken down, I think, those parameters and rules around what you're allowed to wear to the course. But there is a huge network of private courses that still require a stricter dress code. And so immediately I was like, well, I'm designing clothes I can wear to my own course. So as a result, I always say to this day that you'll never have to question whether you can wear a Putnam to a private course or not. And so when I think I had that component of designing the product and everything, it immediately was like, I have to get this in the hands of all of the top private courses in the US. And so right away, it was like, it has to be at the PGA show. And I really love the relationship building within this network. And to me, the wholesale side of business is harder. I think direct to consumer, it's an element of our business, but I really enjoy the challenge and the relationship-based selling and everything that goes into wholesale and green grass, as we call it. So private country clubs and resorts have always been our focus and remain at, like, I always say 80% of our business strategy and funds go to supporting our green grass accounts.
How much of a How much of a fight is it? A fight maybe is too strong a word, but fight in a war in a sense to get just pure square footage in pro shop or women's
Such
apparel.
a good question. This is where I say that like our product is very niche, and golf is niche. Women's apparel is even further in that niche. And so when you look at a pro shop, you can look anywhere from 5 to 20% of their bottom line goes to women's apparel. So if they're splitting their shop floor by what generates more revenue for them, of course, it's going to be given to probably menswear accessories. And you stumble across some shops, though, that are like, well, we're 50-50, which is an anomaly, I will tell you that. And sheer numbers, right, play a role in that. And so when you look at that, you're looking at, let's say, 10 to 15% of a shop floor. And then between that 10 and 15%, it could be split between six, seven brands, maybe. So you're really down to like fighting for this 2% of that floor space. So it is really a very competitive space, and it becomes more of one as there's, I mean, you can see it. There are constantly new brands coming to the market, especially on the women's side, as women's golf really is, and women and minority is are the two like fastest growing sections of golf. So there's, I think for people starting businesses, certainly an attractiveness to offering something different. And it's just been so long since I think there's been such a selection for women. So it is such an exciting time, and it's fun to be a part of that. And it's really cool because there's so many brands that I think have a place in the shop. And again, you're fighting for it, and you just hope that what you have resonates with that membership or specifically that buyer for sure.
You kind of alluded to it a second ago, but is there a community of sorts? Is there a kind of I don't know, a banding together of women's golf brands that are supportive of one another while simultaneously obviously being competitive with one another?
There is, and I think it's probably like any business, right, where you have some that play nicer than others. But you know, it is really cool. What I've found, I've got a handful of women founders that we reach out to each other, we ping each other for ideas. We're all in a different position, whether somebody's two steps ahead of another, or hey, I'm looking to go to the PGA show. Would you recommend it? How would you do it? Like those things to me, I think it's really neat that we can kind of band together and do that. And you really start to, I for me in my position, I think it's obviously easier to help somebody that you look at and you're like, all right, I'm more than willing to help you. We have, yes, we're selling both selling women's clothes, but you have a very different aesthetic or customer or something like that. Like in those situations, it's a little easier to be like, yes, let me help. And then there's others where you've got somebody that you feel like is trying to do what you're doing. So, and those are ones you're like, how much do you share? But I do feel like we're all in it together, and it is very cool that that's come to the table. I mean, and you guys, we all go to these same events. Like we're all at the PGA show together. You just cross paths, and as you know very well, the golf world is so small. So terribly small. Not terribly. I think it's a good thing, but yeah.
Minuses
So
to that for sure, but
100%.
is there, has there been, or is there ever a temptation to look at what another brand's doing, and not even just a women's brand, just a general apparel brand, and kind of feel that temptation to maybe betray what your beliefs are about what women's golf fashion looks like?
I think there's, I know on the probably the design and fashion side, I'm not tempted. And I think it's a little bit of, I always say it's such a selfish gig on my part. I literally design clothes and the aesthetic that I love. So I'm not really tempted by that. I think what's hard from a design perspective and a product perspective is almost more talking to a club, right? So you're getting feedback from so many different clubs, and it might be different regions, and Some of it, you take that feedback and you're like, this is really helpful. So when I go to design my next collection, I need to make sure I have XYZ. And then I mean, you're constantly bombarded with, you should do this, you should do that. Your color should be brighter. You need more pattern. It's like, that's the feedback that I think is really hard, where you're just like, how do I take some of this and implement it in a way that's still on brand? And the amount of times I have to tell myself that I'm not for everybody is a constant. A constant thing where you're just like, can't be for everybody. And I think that's what makes you and a brand so special, is that like you do stand out and you're not trying to be everything to everybody. So, but it is sometimes a challenge when you're like, oh, you just want this person to love it and they don't because of XYZ. So
But
you
that's why you
chase
got
that.
into this in the first place, is because
Oh,
what the shelves you
totally.
didn't like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's cool. I think along the way, we've had, even 2 years, we're just kicking off year three here at this last PGA show, is we're really coming into our own and figuring out who our customer is. And I'll gladly say that it's taken 2 years to really nail that down. And I think the sweet spot that we found is that, I always explain it as, from a golf perspective, and especially when you walk into a pro shop, you have golf wear, very traditional golf wear. Most of it will flex, and the trend right now is to flex down into athleisure. So, like wearing your Lululemon stuff on the course, like this is a whole, like it is a huge part of golf right now. And we see it in professional golfers and everything, that's they're bringing that blend of athleisure to golf. And I always say, like, A Putnam is the brand that flexes up. We don't flex down to the gym. We don't flex down to loungewear, that kind of thing. Very much the brand that flexes up to workwear and kind of elevated lifestyle. So that had a result. We're really finding a lot of women that have a professional career in the sport, and so they have to look very buttoned up, or maybe a little bit more elevated for their jobs, and they're choosing A Putnam, and it's really cool because it actually resonates so much with me and why I started. So.
Well, we've been talking about everything about it, but let's get people to A Putnam. So, can you let folks
Yeah,
know where to find you and how to get hold of
absolutely.
you on social media?
Yeah, definitely. So, social media, our handle is A Putnam Brand, and then website is aputnam.com. Super easy.
Well, Allie, thanks so much for spending some time with me talking
Likewise,
about everything
Ryan.
A Putnam. I always love these kind of conversations, why we started the show in the first place. And
Yeah.
it's just really cool that you're having this success in this space.
Thanks so
I think it's
much.
great. So thank you for coming on and talking with me.
So appreciate it. Really happy to share that. Thank you, Ryan.